The Hail Varsity Radio Saturday Morning Show, presented by the Nebraska Lottery. Strap yourselves in. Here are your hosts, Chris Schmidt.
Y'all don't even know he was a virgin until he's 28, and now, roll tide.
And Mark Kranak.
Time has come for someone to put his foot down. And that foot is me.
I think we had our best week of practice ever again. So if our goal is to get better day by day, it's been a good week. We're not super deep, so we can't just run these guys into the ground. We've gone far enough with making some certain improvements that we can afford to let the guys recover a little bit, and we'll try to be smart the rest of the year.
Great to have you in. Weekend edition, Hail Varsity Radio, presented by the Nebraska Lottery. Chris Schmidt, Mark Kranak, 80s action star Colton Stone, and the Pride of Chicago, Danny Burke, is with us. Full house today. Good morning.
Hey, good morning. Was Frost?
Hold on. We got to get you set.
Yeah, let's get the mic on. That helps me talk better.
Two?
Yeah.
And
three.
Action.
Are we there?
Yes.
Okay. Hello. Am I on? This thing on.
Nice
Scott
stocking
Frost.
Had this morning.
Thanks, brother. Appreciate it.
Did you knit it yourself?
No, I did not. I'm not capable of that. Scott Frost sounded sort of drunk at the beginning of that soundbite.
Can we hear the first 3 seconds again?
Just listen.
I think we had our best week of practice ever again.
The best ever?
I think we had best week of practice.
I tend to believe him.
Is he drunk on belief that this is the week?
I think the
might be.
I think the term we invoke today is U-turn.
Ooh.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
And I think the
U-turns are legal in Chicago, Danny Burke, native of Chicago.
As far as I know.
As far as Danny knows. Okay, so you can do that. I mean,
and
it's
depending on
Chicago,
if there's a break in the boulevard, they are in Lincoln, Nebraska.
Yeah.
And they're just not smiled upon.
Does everybody think Nebraska's going to win this one because you just don't know how to deal with so many consecutive losses to the point where you just kind of throw up your hands and you're like, yeah, this can't continue.
Here's the thing.
There's no way. They're going to win. They just have to.
You know how you felt last year post-Purdue, because you didn't win again and you haven't won again since the end of October 2017.
God.
And it just drained it drained your soul and it drained your life if you're a Nebraska fan.
October of 2017, you just
and,
said.
And it was Purdue.
It was a year ago.
So you know how that felt.
I was 12.
You didn't think it was going to continue this far in with this change, with the man you wanted, with his Nebraska background, and with what you thought was coming back.
Bring back Riley.
The best the best artwork I've seen on social media. I have not been daring enough to send it out. There's Riley sitting on a stool, right, with his hands folded over his lap, and he's got that grin. He's got his Nebraska red on, and it's like one of those early 2000 business posters you see.
Oh, yeah, of course.
Like, you know, courage or teamwork,
yeah, yeah,
right?
Yeah, those are the best.
But below it said, miss me yet, ?
Oh, stop.
And I have not said it out because knows the answer. Apparently some have missed him because it's an Exodus West. We'll get into the topic of tampering this morning. But listen, Northwestern Nebraska, the people are going, yeah, Nebraska will get the win. They're due.
I feel like
too. They've got dynamic play at quarterback. Their offense is putting up enough yards to score points. Does it translate into points?
Don't you feel like that?
Folks are freaking out about the defense. Yes, I've picked Nebraska the last 87 weeks, not because I'm stubborn or stupid, because I can talk myself into
Homer.
X, Y, and Z
Homer.
How they win.
Homer.
All right?
Yeah.
And I don't.
Homer.
I have no answer for you as to, well, here's what I logically can't give it to you, but I can tell you that I think Adrian Martinez can make enough plays to win the football game.
Yeah.
I think Nebraska can take care of the football on the road. I think from an environment standpoint, it's a home road game, if that makes sense to you.
Yep.
I think the defense got to play better, and just flat out, from a matchup standpoint, you know, Northwestern plays perfect because they have to. They don't have stiffs. They have some good players.
Yeah.
But Nebraska's more, I'm going to say this, and you're going to come across the table at me, but Nebraska's more on Northwestern's level, and it's taken too long to sink in for Nebraska fans. You're just not that good, and you're working to get better.
Well,
it's not Wisconsin. It's not Iowa. It's not Ohio State that's going to line up and grind you down to a nub.
Yeah.
You're playing a spread offense. You practice against a spread offense. If Northwestern lines up today and runs for 200 yards, I'm not saying I quit, but I quit.
Yeah.
I mean, that can't happen. As good as Sparty and Michigan are, right? They ran for 36 yards against Michigan. They're in for 8 against Michigan State on the road, and they still found a way to win, and they still found a way to not only cover, but they were up 17-0 on Michigan.
Yeah.
So you've got a lot of want to in Northwestern, and that's how they end up 10-3 or 9-4 or 6-6, but right, with a couple of upsets. They just find ways to outdo you because their culture and mindset and approach to football is what everyone wants.
It's Pat's
from their college football program.
It's Pat Fitzgerald. It's how he played. It's, I mean, they have, you know, teams taking on the mentality of their coach. It's solid. Not spectacular.
But it gets
it's relentless.
Done.
Yeah. For whatever reason, whatever that weird collective mentality is that Nebraska has, my God, I mean, just bring in a busload of psychologists to try to break that thing, you know, seriously. But whatever that collective mentality is, through all of the drama, through all of the coaching changes, it feels like Nebraska sees Northwestern as their peer. As their direct peer.
Well, after
and vice versa.
After enough times getting beat by them in Lincoln.
But it's always
absolutely
close, too, right? Like
it's a close ball game, Krainak. But here's the thing.
Northwestern
sneaks up on everybody. I think Nebraska's the one team that finally gets it, that you can't just show up and beat them.
Well, see, they view Northwestern as a team. So when Nebraska gets off the bus in Ann Arbor, they think they're going to lose.
Okay?
They think they're going to lose. Get off the bus in Evanston, they're like, we got this.
They've had success.
You know what
there.
I mean? They're not. It's you don't even last year when the train was already off the tracks for the most part. Nebraska somehow managed to almost beat Northwestern at home.
Overtime loss,
right? I mean, you know what I'm saying? They're not intimidated at all by Northwestern. Again, I don't know what accounts for that when you look at Northwestern's record and, you know, you compare how Nebraska performs against them versus how they perform against the name teams. It's just strange. And so I'm confident that they'll be confident going into this game. Completely confident that they will be confident going into this game. And that's been a problem. Mm-hmm. You knew they weren't confident against Michigan. You know it's shaky against Wisconsin. Any of the name teams, they pucker up a little bit.
Sure.
And then you look at the actual just realities, you know, psyche stuff aside. Like Northwestern, yes, they've only run for, you know, -7 yards the last 2 weeks or whatever it is. But I think you can expect that to improve a little bit. Nebraska is not Michigan. Nebraska is not Michigan State. Nebraska does not stop the run that well.
5.2 a carry.
200 today. Yeah.
It can't happen.
That can't happen. A $1.25, $1.50, you can live with that probably.
Well, yeah, I guess.
You don't want it to happen, but I'm just saying it wouldn't.
Here's the other side of it. When it comes to running the football, Northwestern's found a way to win without running the football or be in upset alert, not being able to run the football. Flip it around. They have the most yards they've allowed in the last 10 years, it feels like, in the Big Ten, has been 140. Yeah. And that was the 2013 game, Carlos Hyde, game days at Northwestern. You remember Saturday night on ABC. Mm-hmm. It was the same day Nebraska and Randy Gregory and Amir Abdullah won at Michigan. But Northwestern hasn't had anyone gash them for over 140 yards since 2013.
That's crazy.
That's insane. But that's, right? Running the football, well, Northwestern's been hit or miss, hot or cold with it, despite some good backs. This year's
different.
That's
a crazy stat, by the way, man. I had not heard that stat.
It is. And flip it around, they stop the run. They have four dudes that are breathing steam and find a way to stop your running back. More from Coach Frost. The big thing with this team is the why, right? Why are penalties happening? Why is practice the best ever this week?
I kind of said a few times, I think the Purdue game was a real turning point for us from a culture standpoint. Everybody seems happy, seems to be fighting together, seems to get what it takes to do little things the right way, to give yourselves a chance. And the detail's been better. I think the effort's been better. The understanding of what we're trying to accomplish and scheme-wise is getting better. So there's a lot of things that the guys have improved.
It's been a better locker room the last 2 weeks. That will translate to better practices. Will it translate to a better performance? Krainak, the line on this is 4, 4.5. It dropped from 8.5. Nebraska has advantages. Nebraska has some better players when it comes to where they can get and get at Northwestern in space. I just worry about the lines of scrimmage. And you're right. It isn't Michigan. It isn't Wisconsin. It isn't Iowa on the lines. But Northwestern doesn't take guff off anybody. And that's where I'm concerned with Nebraska's defensive line.
Yeah. And, you know, Northwestern's always, I would say, surprisingly good.
Because you just don't. Right. You never.
They don't have All-Americans.
You never buy them, right? Because they just.
They don't have All-Americans.
They're up and down.
They don't have All-Conference guys. They just have sturdy guys.
But they got 11.
Right. Yeah, exactly. Look, they will be a challenge. When Nebraska has the ball, it's going to be tough sledding for Nebraska to run the ball on them today. It will. Now, this offense, though, is designed to just catch them. Mm-hmm. Catch them, get a big play. I think you saw Maurice Washington last week.
Introduce himself.
He earned more touches.
Sure.
His touches have been somewhat limited.
Tough.
Yeah. Well, now you for sure have Greg Bell out of there, right? Not that this guy was a liability. I'm not saying that. But what that does, all that does, is increase the amount of carries or increase the amount of touches that you were essentially spreading the ball between three players. Now you're spreading it between two. For all the talk that we've had about Wyatt Mazur,
got to see him.
You didn't get any touches last week, right? No. Like, I don't think Nebraska coaches are thinking that Wyatt Mazur is the key to unlocking the season at this point. And that's no slight to Wyatt. I'm not the key either. Neither are you, right? That's no slight. But I'm just saying,
we're
you're
going
now spreading
Key Master
it.
Ghostbusters at to 7:20 this
Look,
morning.
You're now spreading it between two guys. You know, and you saw what happened last week when Washington got touches.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, if some of those penalties are wiped off, which weren't his fault.
No.
Making catches downfield. Things. I mean, you're just looking at a guy that's capable of 200 all-purpose yards in a game. There's no question about it. So I think, and I don't think Northwestern's really seen many guys like that.
They do against Ohio. I mean, Maurice Washington is a talent that ends up at Ohio State or a Michigan.
Honestly.
I mean, he's that type of dynamic and fluid receiver and runner. And I know I'm saying a lot in four games already, but man, he did well against Wisconsin, and he's a matchup headache. You know why? You want to go nickel against him, we'll run the football.
Yeah.
You want to go dime against him, whatever, they'll still run the football. You want to go base, fine. He'll get on one of your linebackers or safeties, and you're going to be screaming. It's going to be like a 92 Orange Bowl with a linebacker on Kez McCorvey. Take a drink.
It's weird to get into predictions of, you know, how many carries or catches a guy's going to get. I'm not trying to do that, but
he's at least an option.
I just
got to worry about.
Right. I just cannot see a scenario in which his touches are limited today. Put it that way.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I don't think we're going to be sitting there saying, God, what's it bringing? It's been a quarter. We haven't seen Washington. No.
You just got to stay healthy, man.
No,
that's it.
Yeah. They're going to get it to him quite a bit today. And he's an X factor player. He's absolutely an X-factor player that Nebraska's kind of been searching for outside of the receiving core. You know, a guy that you can move around. Maybe that sort of duck R, whatever the hell that is.
Sure.
You know, but I mean, a guy that you can move around and get open. So I would expect you'll see more of him today. And then defensively, when Northwestern has the ball, look, I think we've all been seeing it. Nebraska's secondary is going to get tested today, for sure. The pass rush is going to get tested.
Deontay Williams can make good, and if he knows where he's going, be big with some interceptions.
Same with Cam Taylor.
Yes, yes.
You know, and we talked about this from the get-go when we were back watching UCF versus Auburn. yes, Nebraska is not UCF. You have different players, blah, blah, blah. But the difference that I saw with that defense, with that UCF defense, that I'm pretty sure as long as Travis Fisher is around and as long as Chinander is around, what they value out of a secondary, I think, is different than a lot of teams. I mean, it was clear, they absolutely value head-hunting secondary players, dudes that are not scared at all of contact. They would never recruit some of the players that are on Nebraska's team right now.
I can read the name in your eyes.
No, they wouldn't, though. I mean, I have no doubt in my mind they would not offer a scholarship.
There's a pause. There's a nod.
Look,
those players.
No, I'm serious. They wouldn't. Either they wouldn't offer them or they wouldn't put them at that position.
No.
Because they clearly value the difference in that UCF-Auburn game, I think, was the
physicality by the secondary.
Secondary coming up and hitting. Really hitting guys. And who does that? I mean, Antonio Reed does it sometimes and starts to dance a little prematurely.
Yeah, moving on.
But, I mean, you look at Williams and Taylor. Have you for a second, in the very limited snaps you've seen of those guys, questioned whether they have the ferocity needed to play that position?
That is a strength for Nebraska with the two Williams kids being able to fly 1,000 miles per hour to the football and try and deliver a knockout shot while wrapping up. Yeah. Same with Boodle, all right?
Yeah, exactly.
And Taylor's kind of got that in him,
Taylor's
too.
Taylor's got it. It's
You've
clear.
You've got four options. And Reed, man, if he just finished the play.
Yeah.
Because I love his speed and his size. That's what you love.
He's a prototype physically.
That's what you put up. Yeah. That's why you put up with him. But, man, he's just burned you a few times by just not making great decisions. It's one thing to have fun and, like, let it kind of flow out there and be you, right? But don't...
Not when you're down.
Not when you're down.
Not when you've lost
it. Have some self-awareness is my point with it. And, no, that's a great point, and that'll be key. I mean, Northwestern's going to throw the football 55, 60 times today, okay?
Yeah. So your secondary is going to get tested.
So you better do some testing yourself and get in front of a couple passes. Thorson's thrown a lot of picks. He's got 44 career starts, okay? Mm-hmm. And he is, when Nebraska's won up there, they probably, and I don't have the number in front of me, but what comes to my mind is he's probably thrown a couple of picks in Evanston when Nebraska's been up there, and they've won the last two up there.
Yep.
And there's been a couple of interceptions. And it's going to have to be the case for Nebraska. I want to ask you this. Gary Barnett is coming up in about 5 minutes with the Rewind. We'll talk to Brandon Vogel in Evanston. We'll see how his kegs and eggs taste this morning. And then Gary Sharp, the Iron Horse. What is Michael Wilbon doing today? Mikhail Wilbon. I said Michael Wilbon. Mikhail Wilbon.
Probably doing a show.
Yeah, or going to the game. But Mikhail Wilbon has had better moments in his career against his hometown team. He has been coming on at practice. You had the emergence, and wow, look at Ziggy. Do you see a similar, not 17 for 170, but do you see a similar impact from a guy like Wilbon today, who's performed well? The reason I throw that out there is because you are down a back now, and he's a guy that can get you in space. I mean,
it's been interesting. Maybe
it's on special teams. I don't know. I want to see what he can do today. I want to see if he's part of the game plan based on.
He hasn't even gotten hardly any snaps.
I understand
until
that.
Late last week.
I understand that, but. But he was mentioned by Coach Held this week.
Huh. That's interesting enough. You got him and then Jalen Bradley, total milk carton guys.
In a similar sense, the way that Ziggy kind of was mentioned about 2-3 weeks back, right, before he burst onto the scene.
Well,
Washington's going to be who you ride with and you set up for matchup issues and you let him get the corner and run it or you let him get split out and catch it. I get it. Yeah. But I'm saying from a running back punch, if you want to try and run the ball and you're not having Adrian run it 15, 20 times, I think you need to, but don't go excessive with his carries. Do you see Wilbon much today?
I'd written him off, to be honest, so I don't know. But he's one of the more puzzling case studies at Nebraska in a long time.
Sure.
Because the ability, his shake-and-bake ability, he was sort of a poor man's D'Angelo Evans.
Nicely done.
You know?
Same body type.
Yeah. Yeah, you saw something in him. You saw some ability, but it's, I mean, there hasn't been that moment. You can't think of the Mikhail Wilbon moment.
Nope.
And he's 4 years into this thing.
Yeah.
You know, and he's, he was buried on, you know, fourth on the depth chart, maybe fifth if you count Mazur. So, I don't know. There's no part of me that's going into this game really thinking more than one half of 1% about Wilbon. I don't know. Maybe he does something, and that would be awesome if he did. But I think it's Mo Washington time, big time. As long as he can stay healthy, to your point, because he's pretty frail, I think that's a dude that they want to get him the ball 15 to 20 times a game now. And they've, you know, he's been somewhat limited because they've had to spread it around and they wanted to get him ready. But I think he is now proven at this point against even good opponents, he's an X factor. That's just a biatch to deal with. Mm-hmm.
Spielman, how does he follow up last week?
Whew. You know, he'll
be about three guys around him.
You know, I wouldn't be
at all times today.
You know, Stanley Morgan actually hasn't really gotten loose yet.
No, because they've been paying attention to him, and Spielman's been a matchup issue, but they've gone to Spielman.
That starts to even out a little bit.
Yeah.
I bet.
Yeah.
Right? Because Spielman started kind of slow this year, and then you need that third guy. I don't know if that's Woodyard. I don't know if that's Mike Williams.
It's Washington.
Well, could be.
It's Washington.
Could be. But you need that third guy. I could see Stanley Morgan starting to get loose because I think he has had most of the attention this year. I don't know if it was Spielman coming off of the injury or whatever, but he didn't quite look the same until last week.
Sure.
I think.
Sure.
Right? Like physically. So I think now if you're a defense, you have to be concerned about those two. Then if you see Washington come out, all right, well, you're no longer able to bracket or pay too much attention to Stanley. So that opens up some possibilities for him.
It does. And you spread it out and you let Adrian do the old quarterback draw trick. Great to be with you. Weekend edition, Hail Varsity Radio, Chris Schmidt, Mark Kranak. Find us on Twitter at Schmidt_radio, at Mark Skurs, at Colton Stone, at Two Birds, One Stones, where you follow him at Danny Burke 5 on Twitter. A reminder, Madonna Proactive, the biggest sale of the year going on, 56th and Pine Lake Road, an incredible facility for you to exercise and get in shape or stay in shape. You join now, you pay nothing till January. Make that phone call today. Schedule a tour with Madonna Proactive, 402-420-0000, or log on madonnaproactive.org. What you get with the membership: full access to the incredible fitness facility, a consultation and follow-up with a personal trainer, 1 hour session with a wellness coach, and a consultation with a registered dietitian. That dietitian would say, stay away from nachos and Bud Heavy. That's the directive to me. I need to follow it. What I'm telling you, you pay nothing through January 2019. Great cardio equipment, three pools, a basketball court, a walking track, and this incredible selection of strength training machines and 130 classes. You don't like just getting on the treadmill? I get it. Maybe it's yoga. Maybe it's TRX. Maybe it is a class that'll fit your schedule. Different times and different options for you to get your sweat on and keep that tailgate body rolling into basketball season. Madonna Proactive, you pay nothing till January 2019 when you get signed up. The rest of 18 free for you. 402-420-0000. Schedule a tour today with Madonna Proactive, 56th in Pine Lake Road. It's Barney time. Gary Barnett, thoughts on Nebraska and Northwestern when we come back with Hail Varsity, presented by the Nebraska Lottery.
Miss us?
Come here, brother. Give me a hug. Bring it in for the real thing.
We're on call for you. Catch the podcast at HailVarsity.com, the ESPN Lincoln app, or download them on iTunes.
Saddle up, partner.
Back to Hail Varsity Radio.
Good stuff, as we're going to talk Nebraska Northwestern, Hall of Fame coach with Northwestern and Colorado, Gary Barnett with his coach. Are you out in La La Land yet, or are you headed there tomorrow?
Well, Chris, it's 35 degrees in Boulder, so I took an early exit to Arizona.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm going to come down. I came to Arizona for a couple days, and I'll go out to La La Land on Saturday for the game.
Well, that'll be good. Are you Man, are you? You got golf in today, didn't you?
You know, I got some practice in today. Nice. Today was getting email, the internet up, and the TV's on, and you know, it's a mess, but it's not a bad mess.
Hey,
I still got to practice.
No, I know. Now, here's the other question I got for you. How long is the grass going to be at Ryan Field Saturday?
You guys are all worried about that.
I don't care. I'm just wondering, man. I wanted how you take it as a coach.
Well, I certainly wouldn't be. I wouldn't get in a hurry to cut it. You know, what the heck? It's your field, and but no, I don't think you'll have any of that issue. I mean, they may not. It's not going to be like your field because it's got turf in it. But that's a good field. It's a good solid field. But it's you know, no question that Northwestern would like to slow Nebraska down. So whether it's whether it's with players or other ways, I'm sure they'll take advantage of that. It's a home game.
Gary Barnett's with us, Hale Varsity Radio. Coach, it's homecoming, and what do you make right now of this Northwestern team? Big win at East Lansing last Saturday, just monster win, very impressive. Give me your take on the progression of Northwestern. Give me your take on Nebraska. I know you saw them against Colorado, obviously, but we talk every week, and Nebraska played better against Wisconsin. Now they're on to Northwestern.
Yeah, I saw the Wisconsin game, and, you know, Northwestern, that was a big game, but, you know, the one they let get away was the one before. I mean, they have Michigan down 17-0 and end up losing 20-17 because they could not put together any kind of an offensive any offense at all in the second half, but in the fourth quarter period. And so that's the one that probably hurts them more than anything else. You know, they're having trouble running the ball, but they don't beat themselves. The quarterback's playing well. Defensively, they're solid. They're really good. They can rush the passer. They're tough up front. And they got a good safety. So, you know, I was reading the Lincoln paper, as a matter of fact, this morning, and, you know, it's not a home field advantage for them, as you see the record that they have at home, and they're better on the road. And you know, they need to find some way to turn that around, but it's just not a scary environment. There'll be as much red in the stands as there will be purple.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's not a tough deal for teams coming in there, but their defense is tough, and they'll play as solid, and they won't beat themselves. You'll have to beat them. And, you know, I thought Nebraska, you know, held on and played pretty well down until the end last week. And, you know, it's just they got to go to work, and they got to get up and go play, and, you know, and put off all the other stuff they're listening to, and just play it between the lines. And they're a much more explosive team than offensively than any of the last two teams they played. So, you know, there's a lot to be said for Nebraska's offense. They've just got to play better defense.
That's the question. Is Nebraska's point totals have continued to increase markedly? I mean, they're giving up a ton of points, and they're giving up 5.2 a carry. How vital is Northwestern's run game on Saturday? Do you think Northwestern will try and run it because of what Nebraska allows, or will they go Air Thorson again?
Oh, I think you're going to see Air Thorson until they find somebody. You know, what they were averaging, 6.7 when Larkin was in, and they're like 0.37 or something like that I saw since there. I mean, that's just amazing. And they've got to find a guy. I don't know who it is. You don't just birth one in the middle of the season, but you don't calve them. But, you know, you never know. They've got to have somebody they've wanted a red shirt, and they got to get him ready, I would think. But they got to put together a run game, you know, to win, although they were able to do it last week against Michigan State. But Michigan State's proven to be not quite the team everybody thought it was going to be. I mean, they got beat by Arizona State down here. And so they're not a powerhouse, but the one that got away was Michigan.
Gary Barnett, a few minutes with us, Hail Varsity Radio. He is going to be on the call for Colorado USC, longtime coach at Northwestern and the Buffs. Coach, with Nebraska, and Coach Frost was pretty upbeat today. He was upbeat after Wisconsin. He felt things were better post-Purdue. There's been a couple of departures. We've touched on that. That point, that moment where you feel like your team turns the corner, do you remember that when you took over? Like, how did it show itself to you?
Well, you just want to get a win.
Right.
You know, when you lose three in a row, you start thinking you may never win another game ever. And that's just human nature, and that's what they're fighting now. It's not a matter of turning a corner. They just have to get a win so they can smile again. And it you know, it's not cloudy for seven straight days afterwards to get a chance to play again. I mean, they've had clouds now for 35 straight days. So you know, that's all you want. You just want to win. You don't care about turning the corner. And when you turn the corner is when you beat somebody you're not supposed to beat on the road. And for us, it was like, you know, at Northwestern was beating Notre Dame at Notre Dame and beating Michigan at Michigan. That's when you know you've turned the corner. But I know I lost my first three and finally beat Purdue. And I didn't think we'd turn the corner. I just knew that I was going to smile for a week, and that's all I really cared about.
No, I can imagine, because you're doing everything. Can you explain the penalty situation? Did you ever have a team that just got flagged like no tomorrow?
You know, I really didn't. But, boy, they are getting penalized like crazy. And, you know, you want to dismiss it to circumstance and this and that, but really, there are teams that get penalized, and then there's coaches that get penalized, and there's coaches that don't get penalized. But I'll give you an example. Who's getting penalized this year that didn't used to get penalized is Kansas State. You know, they've not been Bill Snyder's teams have never had a lot of penalties, but, you know, they're getting them this year. They had 10 last week.
Man.
But and then on the other hand, Northwestern's not getting any. They're the fewest penalized team in the country, I think. So, you know, it's usually just lack of attention to detail. And, you know, not everybody totally buying into how important every play is. And once everybody realizes that every play is so important, and if you statistically show them what they're doing to themselves, that helps too. And I'm sure they've done all that stuff.
What wows you about Coach Fitzgerald? I mean, he's one of your kids. He's a guy you won with. He's now been at the helm for 13 years. When you think of Pat, what makes you proud?
Well, what makes me proud of Pat is just, first of all, he's been there 13 years. That's amazing. Secondly, you know, the way he does it, he went to Northwestern. He understands it. He gets it, but he doesn't give a moment out with how hard a school is, because he went through it as well. And so he has been able to maintain a high level of performance with his teams over 13 years. Think about that at Northwestern, because when I went there, there had been – you know, been 49 years since they went to a bowl game. Mm-hmm. So all of a sudden now, he's just got it operating at a high level consistently. And that's the mark of a good coach, I think, is consistency.
Danny and I are talking, not this year, but in 2 years, we're going to head to Chicago, go to the Nebraska-Northwestern game when it gets back up. Do you still have a bar up there, or did you get rid of it?
Well, no, they got rid of it. It was Gary Barnett's Bar and Grill.
Okay.
And Barnett's, let's see, it was Gary Barnett's restaurant or something. So when I left, they got a razor blade and shaved off everything but bar. That's all what's said on there.
The reason I've asked is we were looking for a place to do the show. So
No, it's not there anymore. But there's a bunch of good spots right around there. Go to Mustard's.
Okay.
Go to Mustard's. Mustard's right next to the stadium.
Okay. So we may need a recommendation from you on that.
Okay.
But
you got it.
Rapid fire.
I'll make a call.
No, that's great. Rapid fire, Wisconsin at Michigan.
I think Wisconsin wins this game.
Really?
Yeah, I do.
Okay. West Virginia at Iowa State.
Boy, does that look like a good game now?
That's a death trap for them. You know what?
Boy, that is a trap. I really think West Virginia is the real deal. But playing there, I don't know, man. That makes it really tough. But I just think West Virginia is really good. I'm going to go with them.
Georgia, do they survive LSU?
Yeah, I think so. I'm tired of LSU. I pick them to lose twice, and they win. Then I pick them to win, and they lose. I don't know what to do with LSU. You guys decide on that one. I'm I'm no good on LSU,
right.
But I say Georgia wins.
Okay, Michigan State at Penn State.
Penn State.
Big.
Yeah, no question. Not even close.
This one's going to be good. This will be on after the Nebraska-Northwestern game. Washington at Oregon.
Could be, but Washington's just too good. I don't think Oregon's good enough to – they're not good enough yet. But Washington is good, so I'm going Washington.
They're playing Pitt this week, and I got about 30 seconds. Are you buying into Notre Dame? Do you think they're that good?
Yeah, I'm buying into Notre Dame. And their schedule hasn't been great, but they've beaten just enough good people, not great people, to make them real. So I'm buying into them, and I don't think Pitt's very good either.
How about Chenault? What's he do to the SC secondary? How do you feel about your Buffs?
You know, it's a perfect matchup for us. It's the best matchup we've had, in the last 4 years that I've seen, where they don't have an advantage on us in any particular area. We have a few advantages on them. We got a bunch of young guys that don't care where they play, and they're energized. And Chenault's a good player, boy. He was 4 touchdowns last week.
No, he's big time, big win.
Yep.
Coach, have a good trip out in La La Land. Thanks for the time.
You got it, Chris. Talk to you, man.
Take care. There he is, Gary Barnett. Good stuff. Good preview on Nebraska and Northwestern. We always kind of do around the world of college football with Barney. Love hearing from him. We'll go look for that bar that just says bar when we head up to Evanston. Hail Varsity continues.
With Hail Varsity Radio, presented by the Nebraska Lottery, with Chris Schmidt and Mark Kranak.
Put back with you, it's Hail Varsity Radio, presented by the Nebraska Lottery. How many keg stands are happening in Evanston right now? Pat Fitzgerald hopes many.
You only get 4 years to be in college, and then after that, you get like a condo, rent, mortgage, family. So, if it were me, knowing what I know at 43, I would party my rear end off every Saturday.
All right.
It's not been a party atmosphere since 2013 with game day in Northwestern and Ohio State. It's going to be a lot of red. We'll talk with Brandon Vogel in 15 minutes. He saw lots of red. Scott Frost is not going with the silent count because of the crowd advantage.
Yeah,
he's anticipating.
Was he really asked that, too?
No.
Like, hey, road game, are you prepared for the hostile environment?
Let's hear. Cut 9. With his response, and you've had a lot of different, it's just a weird place to go play. It's a tiny stadium. Most folks invade, right?
Mm-hmm.
And Northwestern's better on the road. They're 0-3 at home, but here's Frost on their setup and situation later today at 11.
I hope there's a lot. I know that's the MO for Nebraska fans. Chicago's a place that people from Nebraska live and are near. Chicago's a place that people from here would go visit. So I hope there's a lot of red in the stadium. But we're planning on it. We're not going to use a silent snap count. So we need Nebraska fans to show up.
So there's a lot of respect between Coach Frost and Fitzgerald. That wasn't a shot at Northwestern.
They just don't have human beings show up to their stadium.
Right, but on a larger scale, do you think the rest of the Big Ten and some coaches are keeping score of what's said? Winnable game, they better adjust to us. Tom Chattel had a good column about it earlier this week, and the rest of the Big Ten is in line to fraternity paddle Nebraska because Nebraska entered in thinking they'd roll over the Big Ten. I thought they would, too.
Yep.
And then Frost has come in very, very confident. Mm-hmm. Other states and other members of the Big Ten may see that as cocky, even with you better get us now.
Oh, I see
the type of interpretation versus what the comments are meant to be, and that's just utmost and steadfast in the belief that this program is going to get turned around. He's very confident in his plan.
Yeah, look, Frost has said enough things. He gets the benefit of the doubt right now. No matter what he says, benefit of the doubt, you're like, all right, let him get his guys, let him build the program, all that stuff. But would I advise him to speak how he speaks?
That's been him his whole life, though.
Completely. He is cocky. I mean, let's just call it what it is. You know, we can say it's confidence and, you know, being sure of yourself or what. It's cocky.
It's what's made him great.
He talks smack. He really does. I mean, people better get us now because year two, things are going to take off around here. You can bet that thing's going to get resuscitated.
Well, the winnable...
And are things going to take off around here?
The winnable game. I mean, Purdue is saying that as they walked off the field. We were supposed to be a winnable game.
Well, right? and then now it's being echoed. You heard Barry this week say, we got seven games left. And, man, we can do a whole segment on this. Six of them winnable games? Okay, so let's unpack that one real quick. All right, so he sees the remaining seven games.
He's already
chalks up six is winnable.
Yeah, so they're already like, well, bus broke down to Columbus. You guys just want this W?
So he's already admitting that Columbus is not winnable. I would agree with him.
You go play your ass off and see how it hangs.
Maybe we just have to get used to the fact that it's just honest. Right, like that's where Frost is at. He's just gonna call it like he sees it, and his team is gonna too. I mean, Muhammad Barry is sitting here a couple weeks before Columbus and just being like, "That ain't winnable. that just ain't gonna happen."
Like, well, don't.
But you know what? 99% of us are like, "Yeah, no, you're right, dude. That is not winnable at all." But then there's 1% that's like, "No. You never say that. You give your all." And it's like, that's great.
You can still give your all and get your ass kicked.
I know. I know. Like, for instance, if I'm going to go fight Bud Crawford tonight, I'm going to go ahead and say right now, it's not winnable. I'm not going to beat Bud
Crawford.
But
I've been cashing a check.
I'm not going to beat Bud. So, you know, his team's kind of taking that approach, too, where they're just coming out and saying it. This game's winnable. Well, I would count this Northwestern game as a winnable game.
Yep, it is.
I mean, it really is.
You got to kind of be real with your team, and Scott Frost has been real with his team. He's been real with the media when asked about it, but whatever extra you can give your team an advantage, teams have been reading into it, maybe a bit too much. Hour two coming up, Hail Varsity Radio, weekend edition, Brandon Vogel, Gary Sharp on the way.
The Hail Varsity Radio Saturday Morning Show, presented by the Nebraska Lottery. Strap yourselves in. Here are your hosts, Chris Schmidt.
Y'all don't even know he was a virgin until he's 28, and now, roll tide.
And Mark Kranak.
Time has come for someone to put his foot down. And that foot is me.
Back with you, Tower 2. It's Hail Varsity Radio, presented by the Nebraska Lottery Weekend Edition. Great to be with you. Miss any part of the program, podcast going to be up. HailVarsity.com or iTunes. Chris Schmidt, Mark Kranak. 80s action star Colton Stone. Danny Burke, the pride of Chicago, is hiding somewhere, getting some stuff ready for ESPN Lincoln. His Twitter handle, some parts of the show. Gary Barnett, last hour. We welcome in from Evanston. Or, I'd say he's in Evanston right now. Brandon Vogel of HailVarsity.com and magazine at Brandon L. Vogel. On Twitter, him and Aaron Sorensen, Derek Peterson, Jacob Padilla, a full force of Hail Varsity in the Evanston Northwestern region. Vogues, how's the invasion? How are you guys?
I'm doing well. Just got up to the press box. Plenty of Husker fans out and about. This early, it's... I don't know if all the businesses are up and running. A lot of people in red looking for places to go, but it's good.
Hey, Brandon Vogel is with us on Hail Varsity Radio. You know, for folks that haven't been to Ryan Field, you hear things like, oh, it's a high school stadium, or, you know, and half the stadium will be red. How much of that is are platitudes, and how much of that is true? I mean, just kind of describe what it's like there.
Yeah, I mean, it's definitely, you know, small. On the one side, there's just like straight bleachers that go straight up, so you know you don't get that tiered effect, and it's not like a huge bowl. But it, you know, getting here again, like, I like this trip a lot, and I think a lot of Husker fans do too. Like, the view's pretty spectacular when you look out on the changing leaves, and you can see a little bit of the lake off in the distance. I think it's pretty cool. It's a unique setting for the Big Ten. It is smaller. It's not the massive stadium, but I think it's a pretty great place to see a football game.
Brandon, it's been funny this week. I think anybody that follows Nebraska, whether it's media or fans or both, it's almost unanimous. Well, this is the week that Nebraska gets off to Schneid and gets a W, finally. And I'm totally there, too. I'm just like, well, this crap has to end, right? Like, it's, yeah, obviously, they're not going to lose 10 in a row. Where are you at with that, and where do you think this comes from?
Yeah, I think it's a lot of that. You know, everyone can see some of the high-profile failings Nebraska's had so far and know that some of that you just kind of got to get a little bit lucky eventually. You know, not that Nebraska's blameless, but I'm in the same spot as you. Like, I think Nebraska has a great shot to win today, but it gives me pause that everyone's kind of arriving on the same spot at the same time. You know, the key for me really is Northwestern is the one thing Nebraska has not been so far this season, and that's disciplined. So what do you do with that? If that same thing unfolds as it has so far this season, then, yeah, you know, Northwestern's probably a deserving favorite. But in terms of, I guess, explosiveness and ability to move the ball consistently, which Nebraska hasn't been great at, but it's been better than Northwestern has.
Brandon Vogel's at Ryan Field, Hail Varsity Radio Weekend Edition. Vogues, where does Nebraska attack Northwestern's defense? I mean, from a game plan and a strategy standpoint, where does Nebraska go? What buttons do they push? Because that, to me, is the matchup. Nebraska's offense has got to be good. Nebraska's offense has got to score some points. And that's how they win today. Give me that formula. Tell me how you make that recipe.
Yeah, Northwestern's got a pretty good front seven. They're pretty stout up the middle. Obviously, you know, Patty Fisher, the linebacker, is a great player, mm-hmm. even this early in his career. So, you know, like some previous games, I think Nebraska will probably look to attack the edge a little bit more, at least early, try and loosen things up. And, you know, they can do a lot of this with formation. You saw it against Wisconsin last week, which was a little bit similar. A lot of five wide, you know, whether they motioned into that or started there. So, I mean, this is a game where you want to spread them out. You look at Northwestern last week with a great win against Michigan State. Just looking at the box score, it's one that didn't fully add up to me. I mean, those teams are pretty even, but they play the kind of football that, you know, is conducive to both teams winning. And I think Nebraska's big advantage will be that it is not that. Its offense is not operating at optimum efficiency yet, but they've got ways that can challenge some of these Big Ten teams. And when it's not Wisconsin or Michigan, who's very adept at what they do, I think it becomes an even bigger advantage for Nebraska.
Brandon Vogel with us on Hail Varsity Radio. Maurice Washington is clear. I think at this point you can say he is a legitimate difference maker for Nebraska. I don't know how much you've dove into the stats with him yet, like some of the deeper stats, Brandon, but it feels like he is one of the more productive guys that Nebraska has. Have you seen anything black and white to back that up?
Yeah, you know, I haven't really dove into his stats from basically updated this past week. You know, going into the Wisconsin game, Divine Azigbo, when you start to look at things like marginal explosiveness, you know, which is basically here's the expectation for this play. How many yards beyond it are you gaining? Divine Izigbo was still Nebraska's best going into last week. I wouldn't be surprised if that flipped post-Wisconsin. You know, with Washington, we've seen the sort of splash plays, even if they're not huge gains, you can still see on a 12-yard gain what he's capable of. So I think, you know, one of these days soon, you're going to get a kind of a signature game from him where it all not necessarily comes together, but you're going to see the volume and the quantity that everyone kind of knows is coming for Maurice Washington. And, you know, I don't know if today will be the day, but if it is, that would be a very good development for Nebraska, of course.
Vogues, defensively, who's the key for Nebraska? I mean, what one player's got to have a good Saturday for the Big Red, for the Black Shirts?
Yeah, you know, I Northwestern has not been able to run the ball at all the past 2 weeks. So I'll look to the corners again, and DiCaprio Boodle continues to play well. So who's opposite him? Is it Eric Lee? Is it Lamar Jackson? Is it a combination of those two? Because Northwestern has some receivers that can hurt you for sure. So that'll be the key matchup for me. Northwestern's probably gonna throw a bunch, and if they don't, that means they're having more success running it than they have the past 2 weeks, and that's probably a big problem for Nebraska.
Brandon Vogel is with
yes,
us.
Yes, it is.
Brandon Vogel is with us on Hail Varsity Radio. God, I kind of feel like we ask you this almost every week, but do Deontay Williams and Cam Taylor figure more prominently? Do they get more snaps? It just feels like you watch those guys. It's almost to the point where it's like, how do you keep holding these guys back?
Yeah, particularly as Nebraska was kind of last week was unique in the amount of rotation they had at corner. He wasn't one of those guys I mentioned just because you kind of fall back on, well, the experienced guys are there. But you're kind of looking for one of those breakout games for them, too. Taylor kind of seems like the best bet to me. He's still working through some things and makes the useful mistakes I guess you could reasonably expect. But it's clear, he's clear to me at least, he's a big part of their long-term plans. And I think before we get too much deeper in the season, you're going to see his role expand. So we'll see if that's today. You know, like I said, Northwestern's got a couple of receivers that they're challenging deep threats. So it might be a tough spot to throw him in there. But at some point, I think that's going to happen.
Brandon Vogel is with us on Hail Varsity Radio. You know, one of the announcements that came out of the Big Ten Network broadcast last week from Kevin Kugler was Cam Jurgens moving to center. And I think to the uninitiated that are just sort of like, hey, offensive linemen are offensive linemen, you're sort of like, well, that's weird. Okay, whatever. But go a little deeper there. What does that signify to you? And what can a very athletic center do for an offense?
It's pretty big, you know. Hearing that Frost kind of threw out Rivington's name in connection with Jurgens tells you a lot, because he was maybe one of the first real examples of that, at least the one to be really noticed for his athleticism. And I kind of viewed it as a new mission statement for Nebraska. You know, I feel like we've all kind of, and this goes back 6-7 years, you know, Nebraska continues to land high 3-star, 4-star talent on the offensive line. And the results haven't been there. You know, the talent level has been high enough that everyone goes into a new Nebraska season saying, well, you know, I feel okay about the offensive line. They've still got to prove something, but then you never see that sort of materialize. So for Frost to take a guy who is, you know, I don't know if he's a freak athlete yet, but he's like on that path, you know, coming out of high school with all of the things he was able to do, the fact that he was being looked at as a defensive end or a tight end, track star, which is obviously a gold star in Frost's book. To put that guy on the offensive line, I think was a good indication of what they're seeing on the offensive line so far and where they want to get to.
Yeah, and it's funny, you think back to some of Nebraska's centers, really going back quite a ways.
Justin Jackson's the last good center they've had.
Well, yeah, well, and you look, you can still be good without being athletic, but that's kind of the point. And when you look at UCF, when Frost's offense was humming, can you compare, I guess, how much different their running attack was based on what they did with their offensive line versus what they are doing here. Do you see a difference yet?
I mean, they're going to move guys around, and they're going to move more guys around than I think most offenses do. I mean, there are plays here where Nebraska will pull both guards just to throw a bubble screen. You know, that's kind of the stuff that you're looking at in terms of the more advanced things they do. And I don't think I've noticed it as much as I did with UCF last year, right, which makes sense. You know, they're starting over again with terms of install and all of that stuff. So that part of it's coming. And I think that's also plays into they need to get more athletic up front. You know, it was great that Nebraska had a bunch of returning offensive linemen, but at that point you got one off season to try and transform them a little bit. But these are seniors, you know, who are pretty well established in both what they do and how they look.
Brandon Vogel's with us, HailVarsity.com and magazine. I whiffed on the Justin Jackson take. He played defensive, started out at center, a Roka kid. My point is, to your point, Kranak, about that center spot, you've not had someone that's a difference maker on the interior for Nebraska going back to the Spencer Long days. Okay. Yeah. It's been that long, no pun intended, for Nebraska. And this move by putting Juergens there, it's a statement on athleticism, on toughness, completely, on grittiness.
Yeah.
And I'm all for it. And moving forward, if you don't have them, or you can project, that's really what made Nebraska kind of magical and special, isn't it? Their ability to see, okay, we can put some weight on this guy, or we can put him in a different position. It's not trying to be the smartest guy in the room. It's actually just being very accurate with development and then placing a guy in the best position to succeed. And I think that's been missing for a while as well at Nebraska, finding a guy that can be a difference maker kind of out of the blue.
Yeah, and I expect to see more of that as they get more of their own classes in. You know, in terms of high-profile position moves, like, this is really the first one that I can think of off the top of my head. I mean, maybe there are a couple along the way this offseason, but it's notable that it was with a guy. Now, granted, he was, you know, a longtime Mike Riley commit, but with a guy that they brought in. So it tells you that to some degree, because that's a big part of this for them, and they've talked about it before. You know, this is no secret, but kind of looking at a guy and saying, okay, well, here's what he can be for us. And you're seeing it with Cam Juergens, and I think you'll continue to see that. You know, they're gonna prioritize speed, of course, and you're gonna have guys like that come in a little bit like Miles Jones, who we haven't got to see this season. You're like, well, what is he? They're not so worried about what he is coming out as what he could be in the next 4 years. And every staff tries to do that to some degree, but I think you hear more about it with this staff because they take it pretty seriously.
Brandon Vogel is with us on Hail Varsity Radio as we get set for Nebraska and Northwestern for a classic Big Ten clash, 11 a.m. Defensively for Nebraska, you've been waiting for Colin Miller. I mean, you've heard about him a lot. I honestly cannot think. I know he has played some snaps defensively, but it's been so limited. Is this finally the week that the guy sees the field? Because you're pretty limited at that inside linebacker spot right now.
Yeah, you know, I don't know if we ever got an update on, you know, what his – he was a little bit dinged up, you know, to the point where they were about at Mowberry and Winemaster last week. So I think he'll be available today, but who knows how far along he is. But, you know, for a guy that they were pretty high on coming into the season, it has been pretty quiet for him. You know, Nebraska, now the participation reports, the official participation reports are kind of a artistic exercise. there's a lot of guys who don't show up on those that, you know, played, but even assuming that's relatively stable week to week and year to year, you know, Nebraska is not playing very many guys. Which is interesting. There's a lot of reasons that could be the case, but you have guys like that, Colin Miller, who's at least healthy enough to suit up and travel, that just hasn't been seeing a ton of time. And these things are tough to assess from the outside, because at some point you just kind of have to trust what the coaches are seeing, because they're seeing all of it, and we basically get to see Saturdays. But, you know, that's another one. And as you look towards the back half of this season, there are guys like that who you haven't seen a ton of contributions out of. If you start, Nebraska starts getting those all of a sudden, well, I think your last 6 weeks of the season have the potential to look quite a bit different.
Vogues, let's end on that. I mean, just the importance, every game's important, but right now, if you want to reverse course and end with some momentum, it has to happen today. You're running out of time. I'm not saying winning out, but I'm saying you are running out of swings at the plate here for bowl eligibility. It's a tall task anyway to go 6-1 in your last seven, but you got to win today.
Yeah, you do. I mean, based on what we know about all of the teams remaining on Nebraska's schedule now, this is your most favorable stretch, Northwestern, Minnesota, Bethune-Cookman. And, you know, everyone knows that, and Northwestern and Minnesota are far from giddy. So those will be, you know, when I checked this morning, this line's hovering about 3, which for a home team is pretty much even. It wouldn't surprise me next week, almost regardless of what happens here, if the Nebraska-Minnesota game is a little bit higher than that, but not drastically. So those are two games that it's not a given Nebraska's going to win. But if they do, they have a little bit of an opportunity here to build some momentum going into November. And both for the team and the fan base, I think if you're going into that Ohio State game having won 3 straight, well, all of the angst of the previous 6 weeks, it isn't gone, but you're starting to feel like you're seeing what I think most Nebraska fans expected for the Scott Frost team.
Be sure to greet Brandon Vogel after the game at Brandon L. Vogel on Twitter, HaleVarsity.com. Aaron Sorensen, Brandon Vogel, Jacob Padilla, Derek Peterson, Dr. Petey, they're all in Evanston, and they're going to be providing incredible coverage. Nebraska Northwestern could be win number one for Scott Frost, and Hale Varsity on site. Brandon Vogel live from Ryan Field. Vogues, enjoy the ball game. We might run you down on the Real Red Reaction Show afterwards, time permitting for you. But thank you so much for giving us a few minutes and being on assignment in the Windy City, man. I appreciate you. Thanks so much, man.
Sounds good, guys. Have a good Saturday.
You do. Take care. There he is, Brandon Vogel, HaleVarsity.com, a magazine. I don't swing and miss. Justin Jackson just popped into my mind.
I know what you're saying, though.
He was at center, but he was a position change defensively, and he got hurt. And you know what happened without him in the middle against Wisconsin in the Big Ten title game. Yep. But it's a similar spot. He went from offense to defense. Mm-hmm. Well, you got a freak athlete that just fits, and it takes a unique set of eyes to make that move and pull and be gutsy enough to pull the trigger and then sell it. Hey, bro, you've caught a lot of touchdowns at Beatrice. Do you want to go kill people at center?
I know.
You got to go to a dark place to play on the interior in the Big Ten.
Yeah, but you know what? You could easily see that guy get, you know, and at center.
They're wowed. They're wowed by him. And the Remington comment, God, you don't ever say that about anybody.
Yeah, that's a little much maybe, but
I mean, Coach Austin this week's like, bro, did you just go there?
I know.
Coach, did you just go number 50?
Yeah, well, you could see the guy getting to 290 pretty easily, and that's about where he would need to stay.
And still move.
Yeah, that's about where he would need to stay. And
could you put him at 290 and put him at tight end?
You know, well, and here's the thing,
I'm just talking out my backside here, but just he's that big an athlete. He can carry that on his frame, they think.
Well, here's the thing, though. If you look at this offense in particular, he is not their prototype tight end. He's not. You want the long, lanky, fast guys. Everything is speed, 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 mm-hmm. speed. And he is fast for a big guy, but he's not fast, if that makes sense.
No,
right? Like, he's not. But for a center.
McGriff and Legrone kind of scream prototype tight end, the hybrid, right?
Thank you.
Right.
But for a center, the guy has blazing speed, right? I mean, really.
And finishing ability, it sounds like.
He would probably be, and this is not hyperbole, the fastest center in America.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, he's probably a 4.7, 4.8 guy. Around there, 4.8, 4.9. That's really fast for an offensive lineman. And what we were talking to Brandon about is when you watched UCF last year, their offense, super creative on the offensive line. I mean, pulling guys, like Brandon said, pulling two guards to throw a bubble screen, right? I mean, they really...
That's a big ask.
Well, they really value getting guys out in space at all levels, valuing speed everywhere. That offensive line for UCF was not huge at all, but they were active. They were all over the place. And when you do that, you can target people a lot better than if you're sort of a big, bulky guy that kind of lumbers and aims and hope you can target a guy on the second level. When you're smaller, more nimble, more agile, you can get a block on the second level against a linebacker and maybe even somebody in the secondary because you're just quicker on your feet. It opens up so much for your offense.
You can execute what you're asked to do because you're more athletic.
Look, asking DJ Foster to target a safety in the screen game, not easy, right?
Just get outside and seal off.
It doesn't mean DJ Foster is garbage. I'm not saying that. Or Gerald Foster. Sorry, he's changed his name a few times. You know, Gerald Foster has a place in certain offenses. I'm not sure this is the type, though. Mm-hmm. Right? And I would say the same thing for Tanner Farmer.
Mm-hmm.
He has a place on a Big Ten offense. But for one that values space and values athleticism and values getting out, not a great fit for those guys.
Right. You got to ask them to do what they can be good at. Every girl dreams of that 1-carat diamond. Sauter Heyman makes it available for you right now. Sauter Heyman offering a spectacular 1-carat diamond solitaire. Just $100 a month. That's less than the price of a cup of coffee per day to show her how much she means to you. Whether it's her very first ring or an upgrade to one you choose for her in the past. Time is now to take care of this deal. 1-carat diamond, a spectacular special 1-carat diamond solitaire, just $100 a month with Sauter Heyman. Limited time offer. Go see Rick. Go see your friends. It's Sauter Heyman. SauterHeyman.com. 12th and O, downtown Lincoln. South Point Pavilion, Lincoln, or out west in Grand Island. And what a deal going on. A 1-carat diamond solitaire, just $100 a month with your friends at Sauter Heyman. A quick timeout. The Iron Horse coming up. Gary Sharp on the way with Hail Varsity, presented by the Nebraska Lottery.
Glad to have you back.
Yes, sir. You heard me right.
Here are the guys, Schmidt and Kranak.
Well, Hector, here's the game plan. You're going to bring us two absolute martinis. You know how I like them, straight up. And then precisely 7.5 minutes after that, you're going to bring us two more. Then two more after that, every 5 minutes until one of us passes out.
Excellent strategy, sir.
Well, if Northwestern fans listen to Pat Fitzgerald, you may question if they pace themselves this morning. Nebraska Northwestern getting rolling at 11. Chris Schmidt, Mark Kranak, Colton Stone, it's Hail Varsity Radio Weekend Edition. We welcome in the Iron Horse, Gary Sharp, fresh off of multiple touchdown calls last night. Sharpie, how was that shootout last night you had, brother?
That was crazy. I don't think the defensive coordinators for Bellevue West or Omaha North slept any after a 52-49 game. But how about this little nugget? Last year on week 8, Bellevue West played Omaha West Side, and that game was 73-62.
Man, that's some points right there. Similar score today. How you feeling?
Oh, I think this will be now how many overtimes are we going? I think this game will
six.
Be, you know, the total is 59, and it's had a tendency to go under. I could see in the range of a 28-24 type game today.
Sure.
Gary Sharp with us, Hail Varsity Radio. You know, everybody, I say everybody loosely, but a lot of people, I count myself among them, says this is the day Nebraska gets off the schneid. Scott Frost, win number one. Here it goes. Thing gets turned around. Are you there too? What do you think?
No.
Yeah, why not?
Because I can't trust Nebraska yet. And and particularly I can't trust them against a team that very rarely beats themselves.
Yeah.
Now, if there's a couple of things that you want to latch on to, and I know what the history of the series says, but you know what? History tells us that this is a season unlike any other by Nebraska, so it's game to game.
Yeah.
Northwestern has a tendency to play down to the competition. Northwestern is a strange team. They're 0-3 at home, they're 2-0 on the road, they're 9-1 in their last 10 against Big Ten opponents. They're 11-1 against the spread, against the conference since the beginning of last year. They've kind of become one-dimensional, but then you have to go inside and look and go, oh, the last two games they've played two of the top 10 rushing defenses in the country without their star running back. Maybe Northwestern doesn't, you know, they're just trying to win football games. I think you'll see this. There are no more excuses for Nebraska, by the way. The drama has been eliminated. And I'm kind of to the point, I don't want to hear if he had a good week of practice or not, because it's time to see results. And there's still things that ail Nebraska and are going to ail them for the rest of the year, primarily in the depth category and some places where you're just not very good. Strange things happen in Evanston. You know, Nebraska needs a great start. They need, because they've been very untimely. If you look at last week, I thought the defense played really well in the first half. They did enough to keep Nebraska in the game. But Nebraska just couldn't punch it into the end zone. I mean, when you needed sevens, you ended up with threes. And Nebraska today, when they have a chance to get into the red zone, they have to punch the ball into the end zone. But why I say untimely is look at last week, guys, and kind of how the course of the season has played out. When Nebraska, take out the Michigan game. Nebraska offensively either scores first and then they go into a drought and then the defense has to hang on, but they keep you in the game a little bit. But you look at last Saturday, Nebraska's defense played pretty well in that first half. The offense couldn't get anything going despite rolling up a ton of yards between the 30s. Then once Nebraska scored on that opening drive to make it 20-10, it was almost like the defense, all the pressure was off of them. They went, whew, all right, now our offense is going. The next thing you know, it's 34-10, and Nebraska's playing catch-up. So Nebraska needs a good start. And if it can, if some way in the sixth game of the year they can get all three phases on the same page and playing well at the same time, that would be a heck of an accomplishment, because it hasn't happened, and that is a mystery on why that has not been something that we haven't seen already in 5 weeks.
Gary Sharp's with us, Hail Varsity Radio. Sharpie, I mean, complimentary football, every coach wants it. Many coaches don't get it, but Nebraska's been void of it for so, so long, and it's been decades. I mean, you've had some seasons and some games where the offense, defense, and special teams put it together. In the big games, it hasn't happened. One of the reasons the offense has not been able to translate yards to points is because of self-harm. Totally get your thoughts on the trust angle. You're a smart dude. Do you have an answer or a theory as to why there's been 10 to 11 penalties per game? Yeah, I know it's something that drives every Nebraska fan nuts, but give me the why. Give me the why Nebraska is just so good at self-mutilation.
Well, I think because you have some guys that are not very good.
That's just simple as that. Okay, sure.
For sometimes they're not very good, and they're not very heady. They don't play with a great football IQ out there. So you get some mental penalties. Some of them are effort, where a guy beats you because he's stronger, he's got better technique, and you're just holding on for dear life. I think moving forward, boys and girls, listeners of the Hail Varsity Nation, lots of penalties for Nebraska are going to be a common theme. Because this is a boom or bust kind of football team where you make big plays and they get rewarded, or you have those plays that turn into penalties. I think Nebraska, moving forward, because I think Nebraska still will be, not where they are now, but they'll still be penalized pretty heavily, is they will be more effort penalties. Right now what is maddening is the mental penalties. Now, there are some penalties in the game on Saturday night that it's Big Ten officiating this season, and you go, what is that call for? But they're looking out for Nebraska, guys. Nebraska has, it's on the rep. Hey, there's a team that commits a lot of penalties.
Yep.
Let's be watching a little bit closer. But I think if for this season, if Nebraska can clean up the mental penalties and there's more effort penalties than there are mental penalties, I think that's a good start. But I just think this is going to be a program that is not going to be like Northwestern, where you've had 16 penalties called on you this season, and two times in the last 3 years you've led the Big Ten in fewest penalties called against you. I just don't think it'll be that case, because look at, guys, last year at Central Florida, they were one of the most penalized teams in the country. New staff is now down in Orlando. They're, 45, 50 spots better in that category this year. But they're looking for, if you're going to commit penalties, commit them with effort, not the mental part.
Gary Sharp with us, Hail Varsity Radio. Trying to figure out this team defensively. I remember Luke Gifford in the Colorado game, for instance. I mean, that guy got home. You know, he was, when they would bring him, he would beat the tackle. He'd beat the tight end. Even if he wasn't making a sack, he was a force.
It's a hurry. Yeah.
Right. You'd get a hurry of some sort. You know, there was so much promising about Nebraska's pass rush in game one. Now it just looks like an entirely different defense. What do you chalk that up to?
They don't trust the secondary.
Hmm. How so? Expand.
So in the Colorado game, it's brand new. You're getting to learn your personnel. And so they designed some blitz packages, some pressure packages, and Nebraska's getting home, and Luke Gifford is getting home. Now, I think a couple of things with Luke Gifford. One, they found out on the back end, when you leave some of those guys on an island, that's not good. And I think that's why they've cut back a little bit on what they bring in terms of their scheme and their design. Hmm. I'm not sure. You know, Luke Gifford had a great first game. I don't think Luke Gifford is 100%, but I also don't think they see him as a guy that is going after the quarterback on every single play. And I think they took a step back and they kind of looked at their defense on where their weaknesses are, and they can't get weaker there. They have to play to their strengths. And I think they like Luke Gifford kind of on the outside more than blitzing. So it's been an adjustment on the fly. I wonder the same thing. I just think when you look back at the Colorado game and you wonder, where did all of that come? I think Nebraska found out a lot about themselves. The coaching staff did, where they played it. They started to play on the cautionary side of not wanting to get burned on defense. Now, that doesn't make up for some of the times you aren't able to get home with your defensive line pressure and some of the guys on the outside. But I think that's the case with Gifford. I don't think it's anything on Gifford. I think it's they haven't asked him or put him in positions to blitz the quarterback and get home as much as he did on that opening game.
A guy that's specialty when he came to Nebraska was supposed to be pass rush is a guy like Colin Miller. His role today, can he be a guy that they send in and move around? He's played both spots. Can he be somebody that harasses Thorson?
Well, I think so. I think Tyron Ferguson being back, because guys, in this defense, you need a War Daddy at nose tackle.
Yep.
You don't need a Davis twin there. Those guys are better on the ends. You need Damian Daniels. But Damian Daniels probably isn't able right now to give you 40, 45, 50 plays a game. But he's your ideal nose tackle. In this defense, you also need great outside linebackers that can cover in space, and they can go and get the quarterback when asked. You just don't have that right now across the board. But Tyron Ferguson will be a big help. And I think Colin Miller. Slowly, guys like
we've been
Cam
saying
Taylor
that for a while, though, haven't we, Gary?
Yeah. And then that's, you know what, it's not, it has plagued Nebraska since Randy Gregory, where there hasn't been a big-time pass rusher on the outside, whether it be a linebacker or a rush in. So that's going to be something you have to work on next year, the year after, and develop guys. But I think inside, Colin Miller, Caleb Tandler on the outside, Cam Taylor, those guys are going to start to play a little bit more this week and moving forward. But Colin Miller, the trust thing is a big thing. Everybody goes, hey, why aren't these younger guys playing? This staff, even when you're 0-5, you don't say, hey, we're throwing away the season. We're going to play a bunch of young guys. They got to trust you on the field on Saturday before they'll put you out there in significant roles. I think they've crossed that boundary where Colin Miller is comfortable now playing inside. He understands what he's doing. The Barrett Root is not afraid to push him out there. Plus, let's be honest, guys, the inside linebacker job of who he's battling with in number 5, he hasn't been very good. He's struggled on Saturdays. He might be good Monday through Thursday, but something happens at kickoff on Saturdays where Young just one step the wrong way, one late break, and it blows up, and he gets exposed, and defensive coordinators are picking on number 5. I think they'll get Colin Miller in there today in quality minutes and let him play and see how he develops. Now, Thorson, I think he's going to throw the ball 45-plus times today.
Yeah.
Do you sacrifice going after him, or do you sit back in a specialized package to make sure that those wide receivers who are all really good pass catchers, not flashy, but do catch the football, do you take care of them and let Thorson throw the ball around? Just don't let him take off and run like he did in 2015.
Where's he at percentage-wise? I mean, is he even capable to scramble? compared to what Nebraska's seen, where he ripped off for 127 yards 2 years ago. He has murdered Nebraska as a runner with two or three quarterback design runs and some scrambles. He has done a whale of a job to come back. You and I talked to him in Chicago. Great kid, tremendous player, but he's not the same guy. What do they ask of him from a running standpoint? Flip it around, Sharpie. Tell me how many times Adrian runs it today as well. What part of the game plan, what volume do you see Adrian running to?
Well, let's talk about Thorson. It's crazy. Fourth straight year he started against Nebraska. It'll be his 45th straight game. He's 152 yards away from being only the second guy in the Big Ten to throw for over 9,000 and have 20 rushing touchdowns. The other was JT Barrett. His wheels are not, of course, I would say he's probably about 85% with that knee in terms of running. And in this case, he made some big boy, hey, that looks like an NFL throw last week against Michigan State. So if that's where he's comfortable, I think they'll keep him there. But Northwestern, they're not dumb. They know what Nebraska hasn't been able to do stopping the run. So they'll at least test it. But again, I think Thorson goes 45-plus on pass attempts. Nebraska, here's a prop bet, and you guys can discuss it off air or whatever. Will Nebraska have more sacks or more interceptions today against Northwestern? On the other side, with Adrian Martinez, I think if Adrian Martinez runs the ball 15 to 18 times today, I think that's good for Nebraska. Yeah. And I don't think it's always scrambling. I think if there are design plays where Adrian Martinez can run or RPOs, option whatever, I think if you're in that category, that's a good thing because I think his wheels will be big today. But I also think that he'll be able to complete some passes against this Northwestern secondary because, remember, they're down a linebacker, they're down a cornerback, starters coming into this game, and they're giving up 64% of the passes are completed against them. So it's a good, nice little quarterback-on-quarterback battle. But I will tell you who my most important guy is today for Nebraska. Isaac Armstrong.
Mm-hmm.
So flip the field, win the field position battle in a game that I think will be a slogfest for a good majority of the 60 minutes.
Gary Sharp, Hail Varsity Radio. Gary, we got just quickly here. Adrian Martinez, is he like the Isaiah Roby where he's maybe being too selfless and the guy, you know what I mean?
Take like, over, do it now.
He's pretty much your best offensive player, cut it loose.
Yes, and you know what? He's great because he shows up on Monday after games. He talks about what he's got to fix. He talks about the team. He talks about the game of football. He doesn't talk about culture. He's kind of one of those guys also, don't you think, that he's kind of that take-for-granted guy. He's really had a nice start to his career where he puts up big numbers and he makes plays and he keeps things alive. He still looks like a freshman where they hold the ball too loosely or holds it too long. But he's one of those guys you just go, whoa, he's having a heck of a season. Again, I think he'll be big today. But Nebraska needs to, first of all, hope that J.D. Spielman is fully healthy. Took a big hit last week against Wisconsin. But Martinez is the orchestrator of this. That's why it gives you hope in an 0-5 start to the season. Because you got Frost and Martinez working together as a combo. But Martinez against Thorson. You know, Thorson's won that quarterback battle the two times that he's won against Nebraska. Or the one time that he won against Nebraska. Nebraska needs to win the quarterback battle today. But again, I think flipping the field, forcing a turnover, a big play, and Nebraska not shooting themselves in the foot. I still don't trust them yet. That's why I think Northwestern ekes out a close victory today.
Gary Sharp, the Iron Horse, with us, Hail Varsity Radio. Sharp, you have a great Saturday, brother. Thanks for the insight. A lot of fun to chat. We'll talk to you next week, bud.
As always, boys.
Thanks,
all right,
Gary.
There he is, Gary Sharp, the Iron Horse, Hail Varsity Radio. Some final thoughts when we come back after this.
Early to rise with Hail Varsity Radio, the voice of Husker Nation. Here's Chris Schmidt and Mark Kranek.
One final time, miss any part of the show, HailVarsity.com, iTunes, the podcast will be there. 80s action star Colton Stone, the Pride of Chicago Danny Burke's been in. Chris Schmidt, Mark Kranek, thanks to Gary Sharp. Brandon Vogel from Ryan Field and Gary Barnett. Okay, Colton Stone, you got engaged how many days ago? 10? 9?
7.
7, a week. Congratulations.
Thank you. She said yes.
She said yes.
Why?
Not to plug our own advertisements already, but if you go to Starter, she'll say yes.
Okay. Yes. Boom.
See what she just did.
I told you
there.
Rick Heyman's the man.
This guy just lined up another decade of being a pitch man.
Actually, here's the deal. Sartor just lined up a decade of happiness for him.
Hopefully more than one, but yes.
Yes. Well, you got to re-up, brother. when you hit 10, it's time to go see Rick and say, wow. All right. I need something more to keep her around. Hey, congratulations, my friend.
Thank you.
How'd you do it?
Did
you take her to a game and say, if they score here, I'll ask you? I'm kidding.
No.
Talk to me here.
What's actually funny is we went to a I got it last Friday, and they got it done really quick so I could pick it up on Saturday morning.
Sure.
But we were at a concert Friday, and everyone's like, I kind of had a feeling he might do that. But they thought I'd do it at the concert. It's like, I don't think that's who I am as a person. And we thought about going to a pumpkin patch or dinner or whatever, and it was just in our living room, and it was okay. Just the two of us, and it was pretty cool.
That's
so
awesome, man.
Why do you think she said yes, though? I mean, let's be honest.
Well, if you see the ring, you'd know why.
Oh, okay.
Because of Colton's ink.
All right.
We go to the gym? Yeah.
I'm just saying, you got a lot of flaws as a human being. I just...
Krainak.
I'll admit that.
I'm surprised.
Man.
Anybody.
You're beating him up here. We're supposed to be joyous for Colton Stone, 80s action star.
Well, but I'm joyous for him, but I'm sad for his fiance.
Well, she's happy, so.
Yeah.
That's the important part.
Which is quite...
What she don't know.
Which is the nicest way Colton just told you to go to hell.
Well, congratulations, man.
Thank That's you.
Awesome. Colton, good work, brother. Krainak, good to see you.
You as well.
All right. We'll talk about it later. Real Red Reaction. As soon as Northwestern Nebraska's done, myself, JP, Danny Burke, Real Red Reaction on ESPN Lincoln. We'll talk to you in about 5 hours.